Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you ever wondered how to get your partner on board with the money? Have you and Amy have that issue, John?
Spending too much?
Well, not being on the same page.
Yes.
So today we are answering your questions, and one of those questions is about getting your partner on the same page, essentially. But yeah. Before we get into that, I just want to shout out, if you're a new listener of the show, if you weren't with us last year or last season, welcome officially. And again, officially, we apologize.
Again.
It's like it was funny, John. I got a message the other day and someone was like, oh, where is a good place to send some suggestions? I'm like, oh.
PM.
Here we go. I'm like, oh, you can send it here. But anyway, he was just, it was actually good. So if you do actually have anything that you want us to cover or whatnot, if you're not happy with the way we sound in terms of our voice, you might struggle because I don't think that'll ever change. But essentially, yes, if you are a new listener, welcome to the show. This is about you, your life, your money issues, and we specifically target millennials, so generally around age 20 to 35. But hey, we've got listeners that are older, we've got listeners that are younger, as you'll hear from one of the questions today. And we're just here to educate you, empower you to make your own decision.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of decisions, have you had any more Glee coffee?
I'm still on the current package I got sent.
Really?
Yeah.
It's probably bloody stale by now.
I need to drink more coffee.
Yeah. So it's not like, I think once you get it delivered, you want that ground up and, drank within. Pretty, 10, 20 days max.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah, that's
been
like
a bit,
Yeah, that's right. I get that.
Life gets in the way.
Yeah, I respect that. But the only other thing, just as a segue into our sponsor and partner, Glee Coffee Roasters, if you do want a coffee subscription or you want to buy anything online, delicious coffee, and they've got some really nice light filter roasts. If you are after a premium filter, because I've been into filter lately. More so than espresso-based long blacks, jump onto their website, gleecoffee.com.au, and use the promo code M3 in the checkout.
You're listening to My Millennial Money, the place where Aaron and John have no respect for Glenn or his dignity or his personal boundaries.
Ashley asks, tips on how to motivate your partner on stepping away from the comfortable part-time employment and striving for a full-time job.
Oh.
So.
Well, I'm actually going through this at the moment.
Really?
Well, I'm not going through that, but I'm.
You're looking for a job?
No, it's a good opportune time for me to answer this.
Yeah.
Because...
And I'll just jump in there. John doesn't know any of these questions. I've got my laptop with him up here, so...
Cannot see.
We like to keep everything...
We like it that way.
Yeah, everything loose.
But yeah, brief story is all of our three kids are at school now. So for the first time in 10 years...
Yep.
Amy, my wife, is a free woman.
Wow. So, I would suggest she's been free all her life, but hey.
She has.
Yeah.
From a no kids during the day sense, she's free.
Okay.
So we're having these talks about, well, what does she do? What's she passionate about? How does she want to fill her week in? So my first part of that would be, as a recommendation, it's not trying to convince the other person of your way.
Mm.
It's got to be mutual ground that... is going to work for both of you, as opposed to thinking, well, we can get an extra $30,000 a year if they go 2-3 days extra.
Yes. So how did you guys broach the subject?
Well, we just...
I mean, Amy's a bit of a go-getter anyway, so...
Yeah, and look, we were on the pretty much the same page to begin with and have been for the last 10 years in the sense that if she wants to go and work, then great, we'll make that happen. If she doesn't, that's fine as well because you don't get that time back of spending time with the kids.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of fun. Like, we get these questions and there's a million things we'd like to ask, but we've got pretty much got one sentence to chat about.
Yeah.
But I mean, if Ashley's partner, I'd look at it a couple of ways. Sure, if Ashley's partner is 18-year-old, just finished school or TAFE or something, and he's kind of like trying to find the thing and it's, you know, there's a bit of grace there.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're a 35-year-old and haven't worked full time, and I just think there is a lot of opportunity cost, particularly if you are able to.
Massive.
Now, I think there could be an imbalance possibly in and probably more of the vibe of the relationship if Ashley's feeling resentment that, and I assume I'll make a, because Ashley could be a guy or a girl. So let's assume, you know, Ashley can be a guy or a girl. I'll assume it's a girl. So let's assume Ashley's got a full-time job. They're renting an apartment together and let's just make up a place, I don't know, Melbourne, because again, I don't know where these people are from. Yeah. And, you know, she's got a good income. You know, she's a bit of a career girl and she's got things cracking. They're mid-30s, I guess, maybe, a bit under. And Ashley's partner, let's call him Jake. John or Jake.
Jake.
Jake. We'll call him Jake. Like, so if Jake could work part-time, he could pour a couple of coffees or whatever he does, you know, 20 hours a week and gets to chill and play bloody PlayStation or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the best life in the world.
He thinks.
Yeah, that's right. And why would he need to exert himself?
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of variables to this, as there always is. But
I think it's, if I could say one thing to Ashley, it's like if you are in a long-term relationship or it's just starting, I think you need to really address this to say, hey, Jake, whatever your name is, what does your life look like for you?
Yeah.
Because I want to start to build some goals that we can both share and let's try and attack this.
That's the key, isn't it? Is being on the same page with the common goals going forward.
Sure.
And it may be that hard conversation where, Jake, either upgrade your hours or I'm going to upgrade you type scenario.
Yeah. And again, we're assuming that, you know, Jake has no disability or anything that would you know, inhibit him or her from working. But I think it just needs to be this discussion so where the expectations within the relationship are aligned.
Yeah. Yeah, and in my experience, if you're trying to drag your partner off the couch to go and work, then maybe your values are misaligned.
Absolutely. Now, again, there's just so many variables. Like, she might or he might not have, whatever Ashley is, might not have told us that the partner is using a lot of energy trying to get something off the ground or he's an artist or whatever. So let's just use the example, he's an artist or a muso or whatever and he's working part-time or she's working part-time to cultivate that. I think there's a difference.
Yeah.
And if there was a difference, I'd probably say you still both need to have the discussion that, okay, we're going to let this thing happen for a year or 2 years, whatever it is, I don't care.
Yeah.
But there's a line in the sand that if you haven't got what you're working on off the ground, you've got a year to try and get it floated.
Yeah.
After that point, we need to have another discussion whether it's working or not.
Yeah, there's a deadline.
Because, absolutely, because what's good for the geese is good for the gander. So, if the partner does crack it and build a good side hustle or career with the stuff he's working on out of the work hours, it could be a benefit for Ashley. So,
who's laughing? Yeah.
So, I think it is just a discussion, communication, and align expectations.
Mm. Now, Jake, we'd love to get Jake on the show and hear his version of
Or her version. Jake-ette.
Because like in reality, like you've been part time for the last 10 years and it's worked okay for you.
Me, yeah, basically. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny. I was working on Sunday at a cafe and, you know, working along, and I ran into somebody. They're like, "What are you doing working on a Sunday?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I just feel I work when I feel like it."
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, but it's like I'm more productive when I work when I feel like it. Yeah. That's when I'm more productive. And I guess a lot of people would be.
It's just most employees don't have the choice to say, "Well, I'm not productive today, so I'm going home."
Yeah, but on the final bit to this question, I would also say and I think we mentioned it before, like you can't push a rope. Like if you kick the door down and go, "You've got to get a job, you're bloody lazy," like it's just not going to work. No. So, I would say to Ashley, talk to your partner and ask your partner, what does life look like in a year's time for you?
Yeah.
Because for me, looking in, I feel like I'm carrying this myself.
Yeah. My shoulders are getting heavy, Dale.
Yeah. Bae. All righty then. Whew. That was...
heavy.
Guilty. Nicole asks, "I have a young family and we are struggling with the decision to sell our first home to move back closer to family. We don't know whether to rent it out, sell it, or sell it and pay off our car loan and start all over again."
Yeah. Okay, so...
Do you need some thinking music?
No. Nah. Can I get... put it on anyway.
Yeah.
So, I'm assuming the house that they're leaving behind is in a quality suburb / town. As in the town, its population, its economy is strong and it's not going to...
And why are you assuming that?
Just because the majority of towns in the country are.
Sure.
In
the country is in regional area or the country in Australia?
Country of Australia.
Okay, sweet.
Yep.
Just had to clarify.
Yep. So, yeah. So, let me go through this one. So, if that's the case, then I would say keep it at all costs and let the car loan continue to do its thing. Obviously, again, variables around how big the car loan is and everything else. Yeah. But
probably if you can't pay it off within 2 years ordinarily, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But the transaction costs of selling the property, if it's not costing you a lot to hold once you realise what the rent amount is going to be, I would be encouraged to stay in that market and continue to build the portfolio from that perspective.
So, effectively turn yourself into a rent vester.
Be a rent vester in the early stages until you realise, well, yeah, the in-laws are great, we're going to move next door to them, or... No, we're actually going back to where we came from. Because that happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wouldn't know, but
well, yeah,
looking at clients. Hey, you know me. I'm happy to die and leave Blue Bay feet first in a box. You know don't you?
True, true. But the thing there is, and I always say it to clients, is never back yourself into a corner.
Mm.
So, if you sold everything and took off and things didn't work out, where are you left now? You've got nothing.
Conversely, I do not want people to be a landlord by default.
No, agree.
So, I think it does come back to, and maybe Nicole can reach out to you, I don't know, but I think there needs to be an analysis on that area.
Correct.
Like, what if they purchased a house in a mining town, for example, and they had a good crack, they paid a lot of it off, but the area is going to be just flat and dead for that little market for a couple of years. Well, hey, let's get the heck out of there and restart. Again, there's too many variables, but just one other way to look at it, I think I would like you to remove the car issue from the decision completely.
Yeah.
Because you're just jumbling a very small component, unless you've got a $100,000 Land Cruiser with a $100,000 loan.
Yeah.
You probably need to sell the Land Cruiser, but we get these questions in where there is basically one decision that needs to be made, but it gets blurred with small emotional things that actually do not impact that key decision.
That's right.
So, the question is, whatever you do, can you sell the car and downgrade in car and just run around in a $10,000 Corolla or something? I don't know.
Yeah,
family
issues.
Home, you've got a family, obviously, but they've got a young family, she said that. But I'm probably in favor of doing a good analysis asking local real estate agents, hey, can you come out to my house? What's it worth to sell? Just wondering what you could get. What's your view of the market? And what would it get to rent? Now, whatever the real estate agent tells you to get that it would get for rent, probably take $30 a week off to do your... It's like I've been stung before. Just to be conservative in your situation.
Yeah.
Now, further than that, I don't think in this question there is an option that you're going to rebuy closer to family. So, probably what I would do, number one, do it in a two-stage approach. Move out of there. Focus on getting the new house that you're going to rent closer to the family. Sort out the car issue. Put a tenant in the property for 6 months. Then assess the situation in 6 months' time.
Yep.
Like, just don't do it all at once. Like, it's just too much going on. The focus is to get the family moved and settled, number one. Hey, let's put a tenant in.
Yeah.
Hey, if it doesn't rent or if it sits on the rental market for 3 months and there's no tenant, could be a good indication that, oh, maybe we have to give it the flick.
Yeah, and that was my, I suppose, initial part of it was assuming that we're in a
cracking solid area. Yeah,
there's no reason to sell because the transaction costs of property are just far too great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I'm pretty happy with my comment, as in, don't. I'm just reflecting, John.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you're happy with your own comment.
No, I just, you know, I'm sitting back going, you know what, that's pretty good. Yeah. Like, well, don't worry.
Well done, me.
Move out of there, you know, get settled, get the family set up.
Yeah.
You know, if the car's an issue, piss it off, get something cheap. But hey, and this is the good thing, people are actually thinking about these things rather than just pulling the trigger and going with it.
Long before they actually make the decision.
Mm. Mm. And just as a side note, very happy with your response as well, John.
Which indirectly, your response was rewording my response.
Basically, so that's okay. And this is the cool thing, like often, and we've said this a billion times, we say the same thing but from a different angle.
Yeah.
So
but somehow yours gets put up on a pedestal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah. No, look, it's you're the host. Yeah. Anyway, that was good.
Yeah. I like this question. And you know what? I'm going to try and not answer it to give you the platform, John.
That will not happen.
Okay. Charlie asks, I'm young and don't have a clue what to do with my life. Well, sounds like me. but I want to work in business. How do I sort out my finances and make a career in business whilst being young, 17, and overlooked? So, I guess the whole you're young, we don't respect you type stuff. How do I open doors and what doors/opportunities should I seek?
Whoa,
and I probably will swing back around and have my two cents.
You're actually going to let me speak at all this time? Or?
Go for it.
Oh, interesting topic. I spoke to a group of professional athletes last week in Sydney, and we had this same conversation where a couple of them in the room wanted to be entrepreneurs. They were thinking like business owners and like the whole idea of that work for yourself type scenario, but didn't know really how they're going to go about it. So I think two things there. So, who are we speaking to?
Charlie.
Should know that.
Yeah.
John's
son's name's Charlie.
Charlie, first thing I would do was understand what you may or may not be passionate about. So, any successful business owner is...
I'm holding myself back from jumping in.
...is passionate. If they're passionate about something and they stick through the long term, more likely to succeed than not, as opposed to just going for the dollar outcome. Are you hiding behind the microphone?
Oh, no, I'm just chilling. Yeah, I'm just relaxing. It just looks
weird.
The
second part of it, Charlie, would be go and spend some time giving up your time to get fast track that experience and show some initiative and put your hand up wherever that may be. So, last week I gave the example of the McDonald's franchise. You can go and it's a passive income run business. The owner doesn't need to be there. 15-year-olds run the store.
You just got to have $2 million to buy one.
That's right. But you can go and serve fries and stand behind the counter, or you can show some initiative regardless of age and experience and say, look, I'm happy to lock up, open up, do extra, do whatever needs to be done to fast track my experience, but also climb the ladder ahead of someone that doesn't show that same initiative and work ethic.
Mm.
Do you want to enter into that conversation?
Oh, yeah, I'm just pondering. No, if do you want to finish anything else?
So, yeah, if you're doing those two things, Charlie, one, you're passionate about something or an area or a field or an industry, and number two, you're getting into that industry and showing that initiative and work ethic, I think good things come to those who can show that.
Yeah. I was just thinking, business is all about solving people's problems. Correct. Effectively.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, what about you talk to some existing businesses or small business people or whatever and just start to get an idea? Ask them three questions. What are three things in your business that is a pain point? It could be, oh, the bloody recycling bin always gets overflowed or something. I don't know. Or it could be something else, or we're struggling to connect with clients or whatever. Just see if you can get an anecdotal snapshot of a pain point for existing small businesses, because then you might be able to build something online or put systems in place to create your own business to start to solve these problems, because that's how you basically have a business. You've got a product or service that people need that solves their problems. Number two, if you haven't already, swing back around and listen to episode 202. I believe it's the interview with me when I was... No, only because...
It's on playback every night in your basically, bedroom when you go to sleep. Yeah, basically,
puts me to bed. Only because I read Charlie's question and it reminds me of 17-year-old Glenn. Like, I wanted to get into business. I didn't really know what to, but it took till I was 25 years old till I could start my own business.
Yeah.
Now, when I was 17, what was that, like 6-7 years ago? Not long ago. Wink. You know, the opportunities online were not there.
Nah.
So, number one, I would say to you, you've got to check out Pat Flynn. I want you to go to Pat Flynn, Charlie, and look at everything online that guy says, does online courses and stuff. If you can... In June or July, he's got a conference in LA called FlynnCon. Get your ass to that conference.
Get to LA.
Yeah. I was going to go, but I can't be bothered anymore.
Glenn might shout you.
I might.
But why do we want to be a business owner, number one? Because people love the idea or the thought of running their own business, but do they actually know that you work a lot more hours than an employee does?
Yeah.
There's a lot more stress. The buck stops with you every time, every day. So, it's not all roses, is it? So, why do we want to be a business owner is probably a key question.
Yeah. And I guess you might just like the idea of it, and that's cool.
Yeah.
So, how do you open doors and opportunities? I heard an interview the other day. It was with this old guy. He was British. Can't even remember where I heard it or who it was. And he said... I think he fought in the war. I don't even know. He said, like, if there was one bit of advice for people, don't do what you love, do what you like and what you're great at.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the key to success.
Yeah.
So, there's probably, it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing.
Yeah.
But what do you like doing? Or, I don't know, I was always interested in finance and money.
Yeah.
And I've slowly just...
Your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever's left after I spend it.
But I find, and no disrespect to the old fella, I find if you're passionate about something, invariably you become good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, I love the bass guitar.
Yeah.
But I'm crap at it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so there's... I may as well just do something I'm good at and that I like doing.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, Charlie, it's great. Here's a question for John. All these bloody questions. Doug asks, hi guys, should I put all my money into the one purchase in Sydney, 10% deposit on $1 million house, which will be 100 grand-ish, or continue to rent in Sydney and buy two investment properties in Whoop Whoop, quote unquote, and rent them out. My aim would be to break even on repayments and expenses from the rent collected. Thanks.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. So,
and let's assume that the Sydney place, well, should I put all my money into one purchase in Sydney or continue to rent in Sydney and buy two else? So, are you saying, Doug, that you would live in the million-dollar house?
Yeah, and that was my first part of
that. Because I wouldn't be doing that, would I?
If he's living in it, he's assuming that he's going to be there for the next 10 years. So, if the answer to that is no, I'm not going to be there for the next 10 years or no, I'm not going to live into it, I'd say no to buying in Sydney and probably finding a place that's better than Whoop Whoop.
Yeah.
In regards to the two places or the two purchases, yes, you diversify those and obviously not buy them both in the same location, but the yield, so the gross yield is your rent per week divided by, or times 52 divided by your purchase price, right? So to find a property in today's market that actually covers costs before any deductions is reasonably rare, right? So you can get a 5% gross yield in a few capital cities at the moment, but they would still cost you money before you claimed any deductions. Right now, historically speaking, you would have to go into smaller regional towns in order to get that probably 7% that Doug's after to pay for the running costs using the rent only.
Yeah.
So what's the disadvantage of that? Well, the disadvantage is the capital growth over the long term may be inconsistent or none.
I mean, the only other option could be to, you know, drop, say, 500 grand on a house somewhere as an investment property.
Yep.
And then chat to a financial advisor and maybe gear up into some equities, which the return on the equities, a good income portfolio, would meet the borrowing expenses.
Yeah. So, improving the cash flow overall.
Yeah, but still having some skin in the game to get some growth of your funds.
Yeah. So, we could comfortably say we can find two 500K properties that will cover themselves before any deductions, before any tax. But, yeah, to find it gross would be pretty difficult at the moment. So, but I would be erring towards that as opposed to saying, let's go and spend $1 million in Sydney.
Yeah, as an investment, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
If it was his principal place, just make sure you're getting a hell of a discount at the moment. So that $1 million property, can we get it for 900?
Yeah. Then remember the offer you say, if you're not embarrassed when you say it, it's not low enough.
Correct.
Hayden. And this is a very interesting question, this one, John. I'd be very interested to hear your response.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden asks, a big financial worry of mine is what will happen to my parents when they retire. They don't own a home and don't have a heap of super. Do you have any tips on the best way my siblings and I could prepare to help and support them as they get older?
It's great that he's thinking about that.
Yeah.
Number one.
Don't.
They could move in with them. That would be looking after them. Look, that's a tough one, isn't it? It's a really tough one. The fact that they haven't got their own home or very little super means that they've probably got no sizable assets at all. How can you help them? Look, you need to be... Yeah, it's a tough one. Well, it's very hard.
Yeah. I would probably say I can see that Hayden does have great love and care for his parents, okay? That's not in question. One, we don't know if his siblings are on the same page, so we'll just put that out there. I'm of the view that, you know, absolutely they brought you into the world. Absolutely they've raised a good guy because he's actually thinking about this stuff. But at the end of the day, as an adult, Hayden, when you have your own family, your responsibility is first and foremost to your own family. If there's any money left over, I still would be very cautious because, you know, your parents, right or wrong, and financial, it's a very interesting question, financial literacy or not, you know, they've, you know, made the bed they've laid in, possibly assuming they're both working full time and like we're assuming they're functioning adults.
Yeah.
But I'm not actually putting your future family at the same type of risk. But what you can do is, and you can't kick the door down to your parents and say, oh, you got to sort your money out, blah, blah, blah. What you can do is slowly start to nudge them, for example, like, oh, hey, I'm reading this book at the moment. It's about managing money.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I'm listening to this podcast or something, and just try and open the conversation so they can get more involved and inspired with their own money.
Yeah.
The
one thing that does spring to mind when one has an issue and the other hasn't, for example, is a joint venture.
Yeah.
Where, okay, has mum and dad got the cash? Has Hayden got the income or vice versa?
Yeah.
And can they potentially do something together? But you're right. If fundamentally they haven't got the psyche behind going and understanding money, and there's lots of holes in the sieve when they're in their daily spending, then it's not going to be a solution.
Because something else springs to mind. I may have mentioned it on the podcast before. I've got a client and he had his mother living in the rental property, and it was a subsidized rent. And so basically I basically got the calculator out and I said, look, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You need to do your own investing, your own everything at market rates, then move your mother on. You're basically, the wash up is you're paying her $150 a week because that's the loss. So I said to him, what you need to do is move mum along, get her her own townhouse because she can afford it. And this is, mum worked full time, right? So mum was financially able to, she had 50 grand in the bank in cash.
Yeah.
But he was subsidizing the rent at this investment property to do mum a favor, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And it was only damaging him and his family's future.
That's right.
Now, I said to him, look, the wash up is you need to untangle this, put mum in her own little townhouse and tell her, hey, if you do need help with the bond, we'll help. And then if you still want to help your mother, transfer $150 cash out of your bank account into her account every week because it's the same effect.
Yeah.
And you look at
it. Books.
Yeah, yeah. You put it that way, people start to go, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But you effectively are.
Yeah, and I think you can pay or can give someone something other than money, can't you?
Absolutely.
Like you can give them knowledge, you can give them encouragement, you can give them mindset. I mean, mum and dad can live in the granny flat in your backyard, no problems
absolutely.
At all. Absolutely. Is that a solution to their problems? Maybe. You've got on-site babysitters for when you have kids and all that sort of thing. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But primarily, you've got to look at, well, what are they bringing to the table and are they helping themselves?
Yeah. And I would say to you, Hayden, like, absolutely love your heart, love you the way you're thinking. And the good thing is he hasn't said, mum and dad have approached us.
Yeah.
Like, they want money because you just wouldn't do that. But you can always guarantee that your parents will not go without a meal. You'll always invite them over if they need a meal.
Yeah.
You'll always help where possible. But I think you really need to, worry about your own household first.
Mm. Yep. But yeah.
And that sounds really rude.
Well, no.
But look, I've just seen too many issues with family dynamics. And you get down the road, your life changes. So Hayden's situation may change.
Yeah.
But if he's kicking in the tin every week for the parents, something happens in his life, they can't get the parents off the drip because it's going to explode their relationship and mum and dad are going to get kicked out. like it's actually very bad to tangle that up on an ongoing basis and set any type of precedent.
Yeah, no, nah, for sure. Keep it separate.
Absolutely. Josie, I was silly and racked up a credit card debt that's heaps hard to pay off. I feel like I'm not able to save any money. It's like a never-ending battle. So, I think...
Is that it?
Yeah. So, Josie, absolutely, you got some credit card debt. We're here now. Let's deal with it.
Yeah.
I think the first step would be to stop using the credit card.
Yeah,
cut up the credit card. And if you want to just message me on Instagram at MyMillennialMoney, I'll give you a promo code and I'll put you through the spending plan course at no cost. And I think that will start to solve a lot of your questions. So, yeah, message me, because basically what we need to do, it's this never-ending battle. You pay some off, you spend it, and you're just in a cycle. So, we need to break the cycle.
Yeah.
Take any pressure off yourself at the moment to save any money. The first step is to press, I don't know, plug the bath that's leaking. Let's stop the leak.
Yeah,
as Trump would say, let's drain the swamp. No. So, the first thing we need to do is get moving in the right direction. So, forget saving. Let's stop overspending. And the spending plan course on Sort Your Money Out on sortyourmoneyout.com will help you with that and help you manage your money going forward. So, and providing you are, you know, working consistent hours and whatnot, I hope the never-ending battle comes to an end within the next month.
Yeah, and a couple of... I suppose easy things can be done. Well, number one is pay cash for everything. So take the cash out of your bank.
Absolutely.
And go and use it. And when it dries up, that's done.
Yep.
Right. And then secondly, it may be a case of, well, this short-term pain of going and doing extra work just to clear the debt and then get your life back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. But please reach out and I'd love to help you out how I can.
Yeah.
And I'll put you through that course, because everyone who does that course, they end up in a better position and it starts to end that cycle. Well, we're going to call it a day, but we're going to read some reviews. So, if you are listening still, it must mean you're half interested in the show. And if you are listening on Apple, we would appreciate a little review. We're trying to... flush out the haters.
Yes.
What up, hater? What up? Grace, 1234 says, I'm an avid Dave Ramsey listener, but I was really wanting an Aussie version. So glad I came across MMM. So, yeah, thanks for that, Grace.
Glenn Ramsey.
Giddy up. Barry Farry said, it's his favorite podcast. Learning so much about personal finance, and I'm loving that it's enjoyable to listen to at the same time.
Thanks.
Steph says, you don't know what you don't know. Love the podcast, and these are all 5 stars. Thanks, guys. Each episode, I learn something new and end up having more questions that I didn't even know I should know. I must listen for anyone who has money, spends money, or wants more money. That's everyone. It's been great to see how they have grown into the show, refining and improving each week. Don't lose the banter. It's infotainment. Haha. I think we actually read that the other day, that review.
Yeah, we'll keep reading it too.
Yeah, that's right. So, right,
thanks. Spread the good word.
And thanks for those questions. So, I captured those questions on the way into the Facebook group, and the Facebook group, people are putting interesting, cool questions up, and we're having a lot of fun connecting with you. And we will catch you soon. Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Glenn.
Bye.
Remember, we hang out on Insta at MyMillennialMoney. If you're a regular listener, you're welcome to join our Facebook group. If you want more money hacks, be sure to subscribe to My Millennial Money Express. It's short money hacks anywhere, anytime, right into your ears.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Gator Proprietary Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.